Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
9:40 already, a sunny Sunday morning. Dean Richards with the Weekend Health, sponsored by, Northwestern Medicine. And joining us for information today, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. And we're talking about February, Groundhog Day tomorrow. February also begins American Heart Month, proclaimed such by President Lyndon Johnson in 1964, a national observance to raise awareness about cardiovascular disease. Is it still the leading cause of death in America, heart disease?
It is still definitely one of the leading causes, but we have definitely made a lot of advancements. And I even just saw some headlines this week that the life expectancy here, in part because of the great treatment that we've had because of heart disease.
Okay, so good. Let's spend some time and talk about where we are with this. What causes most heart diseases?
So usually when we're talking about heart disease, we're talking about a couple of things. We're talking about high blood pressure. We're talking about high cholesterol that's leading to problems with blood flow to the heart. We're also sometimes talking about problems with actually the structure of the heart. And so with all of those things in mind, it is a combination of genetics, of our diets, of the choices that we make every day, and sometimes even infection. So it's sometimes hard to tell, but there's a lot of different things that can go into how we are caring for our hearts.
Well, the genetics, I don't know, can we do nothing about that? If, you know, you were born with a predisposition towards certain heart illnesses, is there, you know, through prevention, through testing, et cetera, are there preventative measures that can be corrected?
Well, there's certainly certain things that we can do. If we're talking about something like high blood pressure, where we know that we see that definitely running in families, if you know that that's something that's in your family, it's worthwhile to pay attention to it early to make sure that you're not going 5 years without seeing your friendly doctor to see if you have high blood pressure. If we can start managing it early, making sure you're getting some of the lifestyle measures in place, you might be able to avoid medications. But even if you're not, if we can start medications early, then it can prevent some of the long-term damage that might happen if you are suffering from any of these diseases really long-term.
So the preventative procedures would be what?
I mean, thinking about the diet that you're having every day, maybe if you know that there is high blood pressure in your family or high cholesterol in your family, you are going to start really focusing on that diet early. Some people actually find out that they have high blood pressure as young as 18, if not in their earlier in their teenage years. So it's really about just paying attention to that early, making sure that you're getting good exercise, that you're making healthy living choices as you're going through.
What would those choices be diet wise? Should you not be eating meat? Should you not be eating certain types of things?
Yeah, so I don't think that you can't eat meat. We want to make sure that we're getting protein in, but we do want to make sure that we're having lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. The DASH diet is a diet that we talk about for high blood pressure, and that's one of the most important pieces of it, is that you're having fruits and vegetables in it, but then also that you're trying to avoid some of those prepackaged items whenever possible, because they tend to have a lot more salt or sodium as part of them. And so doing what you can to avoid the things that are overly processed and high in salt.
And talking about high blood pressure leading to heart disease, there are medications that help moderate high blood pressure now, right?
Absolutely. And some people need to be on more than one. And that's absolutely okay. We find that when we're able to do that early, then we're able to protect the whole body against some of the challenges that high blood pressure can have. It can impact your heart, it can impact your brain, your kidneys, so many things. And so when we can treat it early, we can really prevent some of those long-term problems.
What are the best testing measures to check for heart health? EKG, I would think, has to be number one amongst those, right?
So that's something that we do to see if your heart is pumping properly, if the electricity in your heart is moving properly. Sometimes a good old-fashioned doctor's exam where we take a listen and we can hear extra sounds is something to check for heart health. And then also there are some blood tests that we do. We can do blood tests to look for your cholesterol. We can do other blood tests to see if you have like a genetic predisposition to having higher cholesterol. And if we see any abnormalities in those things, then sometimes we can progress on to additional imaging, maybe an ultrasound of your heart or other imaging of your heart.
I'm working on a scheme to become a millionaire inventing the sticky things that they put on your chest for an EKG that when they take them off doesn't rip off half of your skin.
It sounds like a great scheme. I love it.
Yeah, I'm amazed that somebody hasn't invented such a thing. Because it's never, especially if you have a hairy chest, it's never a pleasant thing to do. Let me get our listeners involved here with questions and comments. I think we're going to stay focused this week on heart health since it is American Heart Month. 312-981-7200. I want to talk about some surgical procedures that are done to increase heart health with Dr. Santina Wheat when we come right back. 949 Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGM, The Week in Health with Dr. Santina Wheat, taking your questions, your comments. About American Heart Month, if you've got cardiac questions, because I like alliterations, give us a call, give us a text, 312-981-7200. But really, if you have questions of any kind, we're happy to address those questions. Doctor, before we get back to the heart questions, sadly, we reported the news on Friday of the death of actress Catherine O'Hara, amazing actress, only 71 years old. They have not released a cause of death. We haven't heard it, only that there was a short illness. But there have been reports that Catherine O'Hara had been living with a condition called, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, situs inversus. Did I pronounce that correctly?
You know, I've heard it said a few different ways. I've heard it that way. I've heard situs inversus. Ultimately, it is when your organs are on the opposite side than what we expect.
So give me some examples of what that might, what does that mean?
So it really means that, so we were talking before about like listening to your heart at the doctor's office. And when we do that, we listen on the left side of your chest when you're looking at the front. In the case of someone who has this condition, then their heart might be on the right side of the chest. And then when you think about the abdomen, the liver is normally on the right side of the abdomen, but instead it'll be on the left side. Similarly, we think about appendicitis often as the appendix is on the lower right side. So when you think of really bad pain on the lower right side, you worry about your appendix. In this case, it would be on the left.
So we don't know if this had anything to do with the sudden death of Catherine O'Hara. We just know that she was born with this condition. Is it something that's dangerous? Is it something that could cause an early death?
It's a great question. Usually it's not. And usually it's something that just sort of gets found accidentally when somebody is getting imaging for something. And there are some cases where there are additional complications. It tends to be people have chronic sinus infections, they get chronic lung infections, and then have some infertility, because those are the things that go together. When somebody has that aspect of it, then it can impact their health. But usually on its own, people tend to have a normal lifespan and doesn't cause additional problems.
Right, yeah, and officially they have not announced a cause of death. We just know that that was something part of her medical profile. The 630 area code asks, can you ask about perimenopausal women and heart palpitations? Is it something to be concerned about or just par for the course?
Oh, that is a great question. And I would say that sometimes it is par for the course, but it is definitely something that is worthwhile to get worked up, because it is hard to say whether it is or is not. With the hormones changing, we definitely do see changes in the body, but it's also usually around that age when we do start to worry about other symptoms. And so palpitations can also be irregular beating, so atrial fibrillation or other things. So it is absolutely worthwhile to see your physician about those and make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah, what normally causes heart palpitations?
You know, some of us get them when there is anxiety or when there's hormone changes, like I mentioned. It can be your thyroid. It can be other things. Sometimes it's because there are changes to how the electricity is going across your heart. And so there's skip beats or going all the way through, and parts of your heart move faster than others. And so it's really hard to say. You can also have valvular problems, which make it harder for your heart to beat properly, and that can lead to it as well. So always with palpitations, I always like to get extra long readings of what the heart is doing and get imaging of the heart too.
Yeah, you mentioned palpitations, skipping beating. Do palpitations also, are they also indicated by rapid heart beating, sudden rapid heart beating?
Sometimes everybody feels them a little bit differently, but when somebody says that, especially if it's not coming with just like exercise, then it's something that I will always investigate to make sure there's nothing dangerous going on.
Okay. What about procedures for heart trouble? What are the common ones, and what are they looking for?
I say that again. I'm sorry. What are they looking for with the?
Yeah, procedures. I mean, what would they be looking for in order to perform a heart procedure?
Sure. So sometimes we have heart procedures because there is a blockage in the heart, that there's not enough blood flow getting to other places, and the oxygen isn't getting to the heart. That's what we think of in trying to prevent like a heart attack. And so there are procedures that either open up the vessels of the heart or actually create a bypass so that they're connecting blood vessels to other parts so that blood can get through.
Is that the insertion of stents that open up the arteries?
Exactly.
To increase the blood flow? Yeah.
Yep, exactly. There's also sometimes devices that are attached to the heart, and this happens sometimes when people have those irregularities that we were talking about just a couple of moments ago, or when their heart is not beating fast enough, then sometimes they'll have people think of them as pacemakers will sometimes be placed in the heart to help it beat properly. And then sometimes people need their valves replaced or repaired, and so there can be procedures to replace heart valves to also help the heart move properly. And those are just a few of the things that happen commonly.
Yeah, my mom had an artery replaced at the age of 94. They replaced a valve in her heart that was completely successful, and you know, added a quality of life that she hadn't experienced in a very long time. I think it was a pig valve that they that they put in. That's common, I guess, right?
That is common, and I will say I'm just amazed in the things that our surgeons are able to do at this point. Some of those procedures are able to be done through very small incisions, are able to be done with very short recovery times, and can be so meaningful, like you said, for quality of life.
Yeah, that was the case with my mom. It was a very small incision. They did it all. And the fact that she was 94 years old and they did surgery, which was amazing as well. The 773 area code has a great question. Is there a difference between symptoms of a woman's heart attack and a man's heart attack?
That is a great question. When we used to talk about heart attacks, we always talked about pain on the left side of the chest going down the left arm. But that is not always the way that everybody feels it. And people often talk about women having it more, feeling more like heartburn than pain in the chest. And so any of those symptoms are things that I think of. And it's more heartburn that's not going away with something like Tums. Not every sign of heartburn makes me nervous, but absolutely different people experience the symptoms differently. So being very sweaty, having a tightness or discomfort either in the chest or high up on the belly absolutely make me worried about the heart, particularly in somebody that has risk factors.
And what do you do if you're experiencing these symptoms? Call 911, of course, but is there something that can be done while you're waiting for the paramedics to show up?
I mean, like you said, 911 is the first step. We want to get you to that emergency room. Trying to relax as much as possible to get airflow. Sometimes having an aspirin can be helpful, just sort of chewing an aspirin. And then sometimes people have patches if they have already been known to have heart disease that are like nitroglycerin patches, and they can use them if they have it.
The 847 area code says, what is a heart murmur?
A heart murmur is a different sound that we hear when listening to the heart. And so usually a heart murmur has to do with a different sound that the valve is making, that maybe a valve is not opening properly or is beating at a different rate than the other ones. And so a murmur is just a different sound that we're hearing past the regular couple of beats that we normally hear when listening. And they have different sounds that tell us which valves we're listening to.
Yeah, February is American Heart Month. Not a terrible idea to contact your physician and make sure that you're up to date with all of your tests and so forth for your hearts, to make sure that everything is okay and that you're following a proper heart regime. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Hope you have a great Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Take care.